AOPA presents Never Again, true pilot stories from the world of general aviation. In this episode, an air traffic controller and pilot recalls experiences on both sides of the radar scope concerning nighttime optical illusions. Find out what happens in Lights in the Night Sky by Robert Snow. There probably isn't a pilot anywhere who flies regularly at night who has never suffered an optical illusion considering lights. The most common one is seeing Venus low on the horizon and thinking that it's an oncoming landing light. There's an infinite variety of other visual traps. This article recounts two experiences I have had, one as a pilot and one as an air traffic controller. It was back in the 80s. I was working the mid-shift at Houston Air Route Traffic Control Center. At night, it's common practice to combine all positions into one rather than staff the empty sectors. On this night, I was responsible for an area that would normally encompass seven different sectors during the day. I was alone, monitoring all the frequencies for all those sectors. At this particular time, I had two aircraft on my radar scope. One was an airliner climbing out of Houston on his way to Mexico City. The other was a military C-130 climbing out of a Navy base on a nearly reciprocal heading, about 100 miles away from the airliner. The two aircraft were on different frequencies. The airliner called on the radio and asked if I had any targets in his vicinity. I already knew I had no pertinent IFR traffic. I did a quick scan for any other transponder or primary non-transponder targets. Except for the two aircraft I was working, the scope was blank, and I told the pilot so. "Well, Center," he responded, "I'm not sure I should be telling you this, but there's a light in our 1 o'clock position a couple of miles out. It seems to be maintaining the same relative position." The pilot never actually said UFO, but it was clear that that's what he was implying. I did another scan and assured the pilot that nothing was painting on the radar. I told him to advise me of any changes. I thought about notifying the watch supervisor of the incident, but decided to wait a bit for developments. I briefly considered the C-130, but initially dismissed it because the airline pilot was so confident that the object was close. After about a minute, I keyed up the frequency. "Still there?" Came back the reply, "Still there, Center." At this point, I began to think again about the C-130, and a slightly mischievous plan popped into my head. I reached up and turned off the transmitter for the frequency that the airliner was on, and then called the C-130. "Air Force 1234, I don't remember the call sign, do you have your landing lights on?"
"Affirmative," came the reply.
"Air Force 1234, could you flash those lights on and off for me?"
"Sure thing, Center."
2 seconds later, the airliner transmitted again. Until this point, the pilot had been using that gravelly Chuck Yeager, "the plane might be on fire, but don't you worry none" kind of voice that many professional pilots affect. This time, he was clearly excited. "Center, the light, it's pulsating!" This was an experienced airline crew. Commuter jets being flown by 23-year-olds was still a thing of the future. If they could be fooled by distant lights, any of us could be. The second experience goes back to the 70s when I was a full-time charter pilot. I was on a VFR long cross-country flight in a Piper Lance. The controller called traffic 3 miles ahead, a Cessna 172, same direction, same altitude. "You are rapidly overtaking him," the controller added. I looked ahead and saw a single white light, the tail navigation light. I didn't realize, or maybe just didn't consider, the fact that red and green wingtip lights are generally not visible from directly astern. "Traffic in sight," I answered. I wasn't concerned. The other airplane was pretty far out. I would keep an eye on him, of course, but experience had taught me that in most cases, even when it appears that tracks are identical, one airplane or the other will eventually divert. After a minute or two, the controller called back. "Traffic now 12 o'clock, a mile and a half. Verify you still have him in sight." The weather was clear and a million. Of course I did. "Traffic in sight," I answered, slightly annoyed. The relative position of the light in front of me had not changed.
Another minute went by, and the controller called again. "Traffic, 1/2 mile. Sir, on my radar, your targets are going to merge." I had the light clearly in sight, still some distance away. Did this guy want to reach in and fly the airplane for me? Traffic in sight. But the controller's urgency planted a seed of doubt. After another few seconds, I decided to listen to that little inner voice that we should all learn not to ignore. The voice was saying, "Something's not right." I turned 15 degrees to the right, just to be sure. Almost immediately, the light assumed some aspect change. Within seconds, it flashed by me on the left side. I felt cold, clutching fear, as how close to a midair I had just come sunk in. What had happened? I had never realized before how much the human brain relies on perspective to measure size and movement. Had I been watching two lights instead of one, say, the tail nav light and the green light on the right wingtip, my brain would have registered the fact that the two lights were drawing apart much sooner than I did. With only one light, there was no way to judge distance or closing speed. This experience shook me up. I won't make this particular error again. A corollary to the lesson learned might be to pay attention when a controller seems to be telling you something. Yes, most controllers are not pilots and don't have a clear understanding of how things are aloft. But they also have access to information that we don't, radar, and a much better view of the big picture. Nighttime is a magical time to fly. Generally smooth, less traffic, and on clear nights, a beautiful vista of stars and surface lights. But keep your wits about you when you see things that can't be explained or don't seem right. It's easy to get fooled.
The Never Again Podcast is brought to you by AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and by AOPA Pilot Magazine. You can read more Never Again stories online at aopa.org/neveragain. While you're there, you can also join online discussions, check out AOPA's online flight planner, and take interactive online courses from the Air Safety Institute. All of this and more at aopa.org. The Never Again podcast is produced by Royce Earle. Thanks for listening. Fly safely.